All right.
Great. You comfortable with me recording the
yep.
audio?
Yeah.
Great. Cool. Yeah. So I learned about the archaeologists finding Dinant cache, and we just went to Jaber, spoke to two of them, and they were so stoked and so excited, and shared like a little more about, you know, how old it is, how like significant it is. But it is, I'm hoping to ask you about the significance of the discovery for the Diné people, and you know what it means historically, culturally, and you seem to be the perfect person to ask that question.
Sure. Well, I think the first, the native village of Eklutna has a very good working relationship with the military and Jaber, and we have government-to-government agreements, and so we try to work collaboratively together. And because of those relationships, I think it's critical that that we were, you know, the consultation was there, and that they were paying attention and really kind of went above and beyond when they identified this particular location. We've always said that if one was to find a cache site like this, the most likely place would be on Jaber, because a lot of that land has not been developed or disturbed. You know, in other words, the military came in right before World War II and took those lands, and so the Dena'ina were using those lands up until World War II. So we know of you know, sites throughout that area. Basically, Anchorage was the summer fish camps for the Dena'ina from the native village of Eklutna. And one of the ways to get from the native village of Eklutna to Anchorage, of course, is follow the coast through that corridor of what is Jaber today. So the other thing that I think that's significant is that it's further confirmation with our oral tradition that we've been in this area for anywhere between 1,000 to 1,500 years.
Yeah, and so what can you say about the process, you know, the approach that Jaber archaeologists took, and like the process of extracting that piece of artifact?
Well, I think, again, you know, there were consultations over the summer. We were invited out to the site. I wasn't able to go, unfortunately, this year. But it's very much a dialogue between the two entities, well, multiple entities. It's not just the Native Village of Eklutna, it's also Native Village of Chicoloon, or the Chicoloon Village Tribal Council, and the Kinnick Tribal Council as well, and maybe even the Native Village of Tyonik. So, you know, there's been years of a working relationship that's built upon, and for them to also do the dating of it, I think was the, it wasn't just identifying it, it was going above and beyond to actually date the pit, the cache.
Yeah, and so they were telling us that they were expecting, when they, you know, tried to analyze what was inside, mm-hmm. they were expecting some, you know, traces of marine, like hunting marine animals and mm-hmm. stuff like that, but they actually found some trace of maybe terrestrial animals. Mm-hmm. So the, what do you make of that? Like, does it, how does it adhere to the, you know, traditional knowledge and the history that you know and your tribe knows?
Well, I think it is, I think it conforms pretty well, because if you look at marine life in Upper Cook Inlet, it's there's not as much. So that's not to say there wasn't more 500 years ago, but based on kind of what we know today, this isn't great environment for a lot of sea otters or seals or maybe belugas. There are some, but I think more terrestrial mammals make more sense.
That makes sense. I think that covers kind of the main questions that I had. Let me just think a little more. Yeah, I mean, I guess anything else you would like to add about the importance of this discovery or what it means for the people, yeah?
Well, I think the importance is it shows, it's two things. One, it's further confirmation of Dena'ina oral tradition. It also shows that there's still a lot more work to be done on Dena'ina archaeology, and especially in Upper Cook Inlet. The challenges, of course, are that, you know, today half of the entire state's population lives within our traditional homeland. So a lot of those lands have been disturbed, but I'm sure there's other sites that are out there. And as we continue to have discussions around development, that this is another further example of why careful analysis needs to be done in consultation with the tribes. We know we can't stop development for the most part. Now, if it's associated with a known village site and burials or things like that, then that's its own thing. But there are still other caches out there, maybe not so much in the Anchorage Bowl, although I'm sure there's still more on Jaybear, but you know, maybe more on the west side of Cook Inlet. And what I think it is it's, we've always said that we know we can't stop development, but can we use these opportunities to kind of fill in the picture? Because when I grew up in Anchorage, there was sort of this sort of archaeology in this area was very limited, and the archaeologists that were doing it were not really understanding of what they should be looking for. They tended to have worked on sites along the coast, or the other thing is just the physical environment of this place with a boreal forest creates highly acidic soil. So preservation is not always as good as you would find in other places where there's layers of permafrost and you don't have trees, or you're on like the remains of volcanic islands and things like that. Say like on Kodiak or out on the Aleutian Chain. But I think really what this shows is the triumph of working together collaboratively to learn more about the history of this area.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you so much, Jordan. Yeah, this is really helpful. All right.